Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Well, it is my absolute pleasure to invite Linton Allen to you this morning. Linton has been a friend of our church for many, many years, both ministering to our adults up here in church and our kids' ministry at various other times. It is our absolute pleasure. And I spoke to him beforehand and I said, you know, we had other plans today, but there is no second choice with God. It is God's design for today. And so we are so thankful. Can you join with me in welcoming Linton Allen to share the word with us today? Thank you, Linton.
Thanks. Thank you. Just for those who are still trying to get settled down, grab some art materials if it's close by, get some paper, some crayons, pastels, paint probably won't work because it gets a bit messy, colouring in pencils, and come with me on a little bit of an art journey. My name is Linton and I'm an artist and a storyteller. My two daughters keep telling me that's what I am because, well, I pretty much can't wear these clothes anywhere else. So this is what I do. But I'm going to start with a painting which is a really simple one. And I want you to just enjoy either watching or having a go. If I'm going too fast for you, you can always play this back or try it after because it's called a silhouette. And a silhouette is really where you have a very bright background. In this case, it's going to be a sunrise. And of course, the foreground, whatever's in the front part of the painting, is going to be very dark, almost black, over against the background. So the painting that I'm thinking of is what I am doing during this crazy time that we're in, and I think most of you might be doing as well, and that is going for a walk. I'm an early bird. I'm a kookaburra. And I like to get up just at dawn and to go for a walk when the colours are just starting to spread across the sky. So I want you to, we're going to divide the page into two parts and we're going to just have kind of a downward line like that. And this is going to be terra firma. This is the ground. It's kind of like a hill and we're looking out over the expanse of whatever it is that we're looking at. This, of course, is going to be that bright background morning sky. Now, I know that the last few mornings have been fairly grey and drizzly, but I want you just to imagine that it is a nice clear morning. So what kind of colours can we expect? What colours can we put into the sky? I can already hear some of those colours that you're saying, pinks. Yes, I can see a red, I can see purples, yellows. Whatever really you would like to see in the background, just use your crayon or whatever it is and just do some, what I call, some washes of colour. Usually we start with some nice bright yellow down the bottom. I'm going to put in some pink and we'll just sort of start to move up to the top, washing in some of those favourite colours that we can remember or we would like to see in the sky. We might go for some orange, just put some in. It really doesn't matter where you put those colours. It's all about just having fun, using that creative part of your mind to just play around, not be thinking about, have I got this looking the same or have I got it perfect? Just experiment with the colour. Be bold with colour. So we'll put a little bit of red up here. Then we might go for some purple and finally, I'll put a little bit of blue just up the top. Again, this is the bright background for this painting. I'll just get a bit of blue, and then we'll move down to the foreground, which is this part down here, and I'm going to leave it almost as it is, black, but just maybe put in just a little hint of some browns. Just put a little bit here, a little bit here. And that's going to be, we might even put in some greeny sort of umber colour, we call this. Now, I want to give this a kind of a feel. I want it to be a winter's morning because that's where we are right at the moment. So to create that sense of coldness, we're going to put the outline of a tree just up here, and we're going to just sort of bend it over, because we're going to imagine that it is a tree that's bending in the wind. There's a bit of a breeze blowing, so we'll just keep those branches facing that way. We're not going to have many leaves on the branches because it's winter. The leaves have all gone north for a holiday. So I might just put just a couple, maybe just sort of blowing off like that. And that creates that sense of winter, and it is cold and windy. And of course, underneath this tree, I'm going to now paint myself. Now, you can put yourself here. And usually we just do that as, a silhouette. You can do yourself in a very handsome mode if you want to. I'm just going to do my head, which is there. I'm going to have a jacket on, so it's going to be the collar. I've got it up tight. Well, again, the wind is kind of just blowing it forward a little bit. Here we go. I'll have my hand out here, and my legs are sort of down there, anchoring myself to the ground. And I am walking my dog. So I've got a leash going down, and my dog is a really tiny dog, so I don't have to actually do much here. It's just the suggestion of a little bundle of fur. If you want to put another dog in, I'll put a little tail there, you can just do another shape, but that's my little dog. It's a little chihuahua. I have two of them, so I take those for an early morning walk. Now, you can just potter away on your painting, but why I'm doing this is that as I have been doing these early morning walks, I can't help but start to again reflect on this strange landscape that we are in. And it's not just winter. It is lockdown in winter again. And I think about, again, all of the unknowns, the uncertainties, as Andy was saying, those things that we have no control over externally. And of course, that immediately brings within us the temptation to be anxious, to be fearful, to be worried, to think about the things that we're losing, our freedom, whatever it was we had planned, the joys that we normally, the things that we took for granted. Those are gone at the moment, and we can sort of dwell on those. And I was reflecting on those as I was going for a walk, and I started to think back to another moment or another time in my life when I was also facing a big change, and there were a lot of unknowns, and it was causing me a lot of anxieties. Now, I am going back nearly 30 plus years to when I first stepped out into doing what I do, and that is to take art and storytelling around Australia, to go into lots of different places, schools and prisons and hospitals and community groups, as well as churches, and to try and share something of the things that we value, that we celebrate on a Sunday morning, but to take them out to a wider audience. But for me, it meant taking a big risk, because I was a pastor at a church at that time on the Gold Coast, and I was feeling God saying, step out and trust me, to go on a what we call a faith ministry, to literally step out on the road and to take a huge risk with me. Now, if I was on my own, that would have been okay, but I was married. I had two little daughters, and I thought, is this just me being crazy in my thoughts, or am I going to crash and burn and sort of hurt those whom I loved most, or is this really of God? And so I would go for walks in the morning, and I'd be thinking, God, just give me some kind of direction. And the way God did it is a pretty weird, but I think really interesting way. I was so fascinated and amazed that, is it Holly who gave the announcement? Holly had showed your dog, because that was how God spoke to me, through my dogs. Now, they didn't turn around and start talking to me, but I looked at them as I was walking, and I suddenly had this thought. Now, it's not an original thought, but it was good. It was just at the right time, at the right place, and it just sort of came to my heart, and that was, how do you spell dog? And what do you get when you spell dog backwards? And I suddenly realized, now, not that God is a big canine in heaven, not that my dog is divine, but I was someone who spent a lot of my energy and time trying to encourage people to see God's presence in all of creation, from every leaf to every tree to every sunrise to everything, every galaxy. But I'd actually never thought about dogs as part of that world. Now, I know we have been part of changing the whole breed of dogs down through time, but kind of dogs are part of God's creation. And as I was walking that morning, I was thinking about some of the unique canines, animals, dogs that we might have at home as our companions. And I'm going to show you a few of the ones that I thought about, and I'm going to share some of the thoughts that I had. And I'm hoping that this will be an encouragement to you. What I'm going to be saying is not new. It's things that we know, but I just thought maybe looking at it in a different perspective and way might encourage us. The first one, of course, is that lovable Labrador, the one who just loves to drag washing out into the backyard and dig holes and try and bury it, the one who is always just slobbering over us, letting us know how much they love us. But as I thought about the Labrador, I thought, what is the one really standout quality? And I thought, of course, about the fact that these dogs, apart from all their other good things they have, they are the ones that we train to be a guide to those who are blind or who have trouble seeing fully. And I think I thought about this because I just finished reading a book of a young woman who described her journey as a teenager at high school. She had trouble with her eyesight. The specialist finally came to her and said, "You've got a degenerative eye disease that cannot be reversed. You are going to be blind in a few years." And she describes how scary that was as she left high school and not being able to rely on her own eyes as she had been. She had her family, she had a home, that was her safe place. But she said she was so afraid to step out into the unknown because she had no control and she was afraid of making a fool of herself or getting into harm. It took a few years because these dogs aren't always around. But when one was finally trained and matched up with her, she told how this dog changed her life. And she said it was all about the relationship of trust between her and her beautiful Labrador. And she describes how she would go out with that specially made leash. It's sort of like a hard leash. And she said, "You have to, a step at a time, trust that this dog is going to guide you and be on your side. It's not going to take you out and then run away because it's found something more interesting. It's not going to cross the road at the wrong time when a truck is coming. It's not going to be put off when it goes into a crowd, whether it's at a shopping center. It's always going to be there to take you one step at a time and guide you and bring you back home." And she said as she learned to trust her guide dog, her life became more fuller and more richer. And that was what God just quietly said to me, "Linton, you will not know what the future holds. You won't even know what tomorrow holds. We can take guesses, but none of us are in that position to do that. All I want you to do, Linton, is just trust me a step at a time and build that relationship, and I will be like this dog to you." Now, the second dog that I thought about, we're now going to the largest dog in the dog kingdom. So we're going much bigger than a Chihuahua. This dog is, of course, the Great Dane. And as I thought about these monsters, they're like a horse. I thought, what is it that is the standout strength of these guys? And my mind went to a dog park down the road that I sometimes take the dogs down when they're behaving themselves, and you kind of mingle with all the other dogs. You know the other dogs by their owners. You don't, Freddie there has, you know, this particular owner. You'd never sort of really get to know their names, but you know the dogs. And there's one dog down there who's a Great Dane called Samson. And you can hear him coming across the oval, you know, kind of. And the thing that just amazes me is that her or its owner, his owner, is this tiny frail elderly lady. Don't even know her name. But I used to look at these two and think, what is it that she sees in this doll? Why would she want a monster in her house? Imagine how much it takes to feed these dogs, what goes in one end, and imagine what comes out the other end. I mean, it's just crazy. Why doesn't she just get a little poodle? And then I started to read about these dogs and their standout quality. Strength is they are fiercely protective of their owner and the home. Now, if they are in the home, whoever's in the family is protected. So they are like a gentle giant to them. You can roll around the floor with them. You can tug on their ears and you can play, and they're not going to harm you. But if you have a stranger who tries to come in to your house or yard, these guys are the first or the original Transformers. These big jowls just kind of roll up. Their teeth kind of grow an extra 10 centimeters and they just go, I'm going to rip your face off. Now, I'm not suggesting that God is like that, please. But as I thought about this, God just gently said to me, Linton, I know deep down that you are afraid of many things, and I am. And I am anxious about things and places that I go to and the unknowns and the what ifs. And God just said, Linton, I just want you not to try and man up and try and fight these things yourself, but just stay close to me. I am your champion. I am your Great Dane. You are in the family. You don't have to be afraid of me. Just draw your courage from my presence. Now, the third dog is one of my favorites, even though I've never owned one of these dogs, but it is this one. And it is the beautiful collie, the border collie, the sheepdog. And as I thought about these wonderful animals, again, I was thinking about what is it that's a standout quality. I know they're intelligent. I know they're fun. I know they love chasing tennis balls and cars if they can't find a tennis ball. But what is it that is the standout quality? And of course, actually, I was surprised when I read this because I thought, well, maybe it's their ability to round up sheep or whatever, but actually, their standout quality is their undying loyalty, their unconditional love to their owner, even if, now I'm not suggesting you try this, but even if they are mistreated or abused, they will not give up on you. And I went back in my mind to a story that I had read. Now, this goes back a while. It goes up into the north parts of England where it is cold and it's drizzly and there are lots of rural farms there and these dogs are used as a working dog. But this particular guy was paying a lot of money to have one of the country's first hip transplants for his dog. And he was being criticized by his friends who said, why are you wasting money on your dog? It's just a working dog. Get another one. And he said, let me tell you what happened. He said, I was up early in the morning trying to get some rogue sheep back into a corral and back into the pen. And we'd worked hard, my dog and myself, and we eventually got them into the pen. And he said, I was doing up the latch on the gate and I told my dog to sit. But he said, it kept whining at me. And I said, told it to keep quiet and to stay there. And he said, I went back to the gate. He said, what I didn't realize was that in this misty morning, coming down the side of the shed was a worker on a tractor. And the dog could see it coming towards it. But he said, I couldn't see it. But that dog stayed there because I told it to stay. And the tractor's wheels rolled over the dog's back legs. And he said, that is why I am paying this money to try and get his hip fixed up. Now, I know that's an extreme case, but when I was thinking of that, again, God just quietly said to me, Linton, no matter how many times you might fall, no matter how many times you might fail, no matter how many times you might mess up, my love for you is the bedrock. It will not change. And even if you walk away from me, even if you abuse my grace and my goodness and my gifts every day, my love is not conditioned on whether you are good or not. I'm there for you. And of course, we know the ultimate expression of that was in the cross, as Jesus obediently stayed there and died to show us how far God was willing to humble himself to express that love towards us. And then I just quickly went to another thought as I was thinking about this. I go out to, when I've got more freedom, I like going out to rural areas and onto properties. And there was one town I was working in, but I was hosted on a property, a sheep property. And there was a young girl there who had one of these dogs, and she was just telling me just how much she loved her dog because, she said, he just does, he's always bringing the ball back to me. She said, if I throw the ball as far as I can, the dog will just go pshong and bring the ball back to my feet. She said, I'll throw it into the dam. It'll dive into that muddy dam and bring it back all muddy and wet. She said, I'll throw it under the house. It's up on stumps. And the dog will be under the house finding that ball and bringing it back. And then she said to me, I didn't say anything. She said, you know what that reminds me of? She said, it's just like God's love. No matter how far you throw his love away, he'll always bring it back. I just thought, man, she's got it. Now, this dog here is one which, let's pull it up again, has a number of names, the Alsatian, the German Shepherd. And as I was thinking about this beautiful dog, they're intelligent. They're beautiful dogs. But the standout quality, believe it or not, is their schnozzle. I've read different accounts of just how amazing they can smell. It's up to, sometimes I've read up to 10,000 times better than ours. It's why when there's an avalanche or a building collapse, as there was recently over in the States, they bring in these dogs as part of the search and rescue teams to try and sense where those people might be and to rescue them. But my encounter I was thinking about with one of these dogs goes back a little while when prisons were a little different than what they are now. A lot of them have become privatized and a lot more. There's a lot more technology in them. But I can remember going into an old style, it was an old state prison to work with the prisoners. And as I was checking in, the person, the guard there says, sir, you need to go into the room over there. And I went in, the door shut. And another door opened, and in came a guard with one of these guys on a leash. And the guard just said, stand still. And the dog then started to sniff me all over. And I tell you, it was a really uncomfortable experience because I'm thinking, man, I hope I've got nothing in my pockets that I been absent-minded about. I hope I haven't rubbed up against someone who maybe has been smoking the wrong stuff or whatever, because this guy could cause a lot of harm here because he's that close to you. Now, this again might be a strange way of thinking about God. But as I thought about this, I thought there are moments in our relationship with God when it does at times feel uncomfortable, as if someone is sniffing around in those hidden areas in our lives that we don't want anyone to know about. In fact, we just want to tuck them away, keep them to ourselves. And God just quietly said to me, and that is, Linton, in one sense, it doesn't really matter whether you step out on the road and go this way or whether you stay in the role that you're in at the moment or you do something else. All of that is kind of peripheral. What is most important to me is who you are and who you are becoming. And the journey really is one of becoming more like me, more Christ-like. And I realize that there are many areas of my life that I do need to open up when I sense God sniffing around and I need to put that relationship right. I need to go to someone and say sorry. I need to let go of something that I'm desperately holding on to, thinking it's going to give me joy and peace and security. And God's just saying, just let go of it. I am all that you need. And those moments at times are uncomfortable, but when you do respond, there's an immediate, not just flow of joy and love and peace, but a sense that you are growing from the inside out, becoming more the person God wants you to be. We got 2 minutes here. My last one is, and I deliberately left this to last because it's a little bit different, but I have been sort of showing well-known breeds. But I want to show you one that is just a bitzer dog. We all know those dogs. Sometimes they just hang around the street. I can remember going to a small country church, and when I finished, I wasn't even talking about dogs. But this lady, for some reason, just came up to me. She said, "I want to share something with you." She said, "My life has been, for years, was a mess." She said, "I made many, many bad decisions. Was in a lot of really bad relationships." And she said, "One of those, I was in a mining town, and my relationship had broken up again." She said, "I decided I was going to just put an end to it all. I just couldn't stand being who I was." And so she said, "I just took a whole lot of alcohol and pills and went outside onto the road. My four-wheel drive was parked out in the front." She said, "I crawled under and I held on to the back axle so no one would find me." She said, "As I was going into unconsciousness," she said, "I felt something tugging at my jeans and pulling my legs." And she said, "It was so strong that it actually, I released my grip and it dragged me out from under the car." And she said, "I saw that it was the mangy street dog that I'd been always afraid of and would throw stones at it to keep it away. But it dragged me from under that car and then it stood over me and howled until people came and called the ambulance." And she said, "In that moment, I realized that there must be a God who loves me and that this was God's angel coming to help me." And I just want you to know, no matter how difficult your situation might be, God will always reach out to us. It could be through a friend. It could be through something you do read. It could be through something that you just don't expect. But it could also be through something as even as strange as a mangy animal. God loves us that much. Let me just finish with prayer. And if you do want to open up your word, as Andy said, one of my favorite passages is Psalm 23. And I know it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." But if you just change that image to "the Lord is my guide dog," or "the Lord is my protector, my great Dane," "the Lord is my sheepdog," it kind of just keeps the same flavor in the passage, but it just maybe makes it a little bit more, it sort of brings it home a little bit more. And so I'll just finish here as a prayer. "The Lord is my shepherd, my whatever it is, whatever dog you most love. I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of COVID, shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will not be anxious, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff and your growl, they protect me and they comfort me. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love," and it says here, "will follow me," but actually the word there is "will chase me like a sheepdog. They will chase me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Thank you very much.